Welcome to South Lansing Christian Church. My name is Frank. I'm your preacher today, and we're just delighted to have all of you here. I want to especially welcome those of you who are here for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time. We're glad you're at South. We'd love to get to know you a little better today, and on your way out, you can stop by the guest services counter and pick up some information about our church and a loaf of homemade bread, just our gift and our way of saying thank you. Some of you are here for the first time in this big room, even though you've been a part of South for a while. I want to welcome our new sixth graders to Big Church. Let's welcome our sixth graders to Big Church today. Yes, yes, yes. Now, you probably don't know this, sixth graders, but one of the reasons why we invite you to come into Big Church when you go in the sixth grade is so you can help people figure out how to find the app on their smartphone. Right. So if you go to the South Lansing Christian Church app, you can download our app from the Google Play Store, from the Apple iTunes Store. And if you need help from that, just ask one of our new sixth graders, and they'll get you all fixed up. And you can follow along with our service today just by clicking on the app and then clicking on the YouVersion button. Now, let me say this. Some of you follow along every week, and one of the things you've noticed is there's been a little bit of a glitch when you access YouVersion, access the teaching through our app. The scriptures don't display. That's because YouVersion just changed. They went to a new version of YouVersion. And so now we're talking with tech support, and we're trying to help them get the bugs ironed out. But if you do want to display the scriptures, you can still find them by simply going to the YouVersion app, not our app, but the YouVersion app, and then clicking on the events and finding South Lansing Christian Church. Is that confusing? Ask a sixth grader, okay? So, or just come see me, one of our staff, afterward, and we'll be glad to get you fixed up. And while you have your smartphone out, make sure you check in on social media. Maybe your checking in at South Lansing Christian Church can be the doorway through which one of your friends can find a path to hope. And so we invite you to do that, to check in. We're not asking you to put your phone away. We're asking you to use your phone as a tool to help other people find out about Jesus. So if you had a good weekend so far, how many of you had a good weekend so far? Can I get a woohoo? Yeah, me too. We were in Indiana yesterday, and anytime you're in Indiana, it's a good weekend, right? So we went to Indiana for a family wedding yesterday, and I was able to marry my cousin Brian to Courtney. It was an amazing, amazing day. So let me tell you a little bit about the story, because it's a pretty cool story, pretty cool love story. Courtney married her high school sweetheart right after she got out of college, a guy named LeBron. And they got married, and they had a little baby boy. And when Braylon was 4 months old, Jabron, who was in the United States Army, was called to active duty. He went to Iraq, and when Braylon was four, Jabron was killed in the line of duty. He was killed in the service. And so Courtney's raising this little kid, Braylon, all by herself. And he's the cutest little dude ever. Check this. I got a picture of this is him at the wedding yesterday. There he is. Right? I mean, don't you just want to gobble that kid up? And so he's just super, super cool. Well, Courtney played AAU basketball with my cousin Lindsay, and Lindsay has been sort of the gatekeeper to all of Brian's relationships. That's why he's 36 and not married, right? Because every time a girl comes around, she's like, no. Well, she knew Courtney from playing basketball, college basketball together, and so she introduced Courtney and Brian, and yesterday I got to marry them. This is Courtney and Brian. And it's just a great love story, because now Braylon has a new daddy, and he gets to grow up on the family farm, and Courtney and Brian are just in love, and it was wonderful. Go ahead. Oh, I know, it was an amazing day yesterday. It really was. The only thing missing was you. I wish you could have been there to hang out with us. But the thing I really loved about yesterday was just being with family. You know what I'm talking about? Just all the stupid stuff you do when you're with family that nobody else gets. Somebody else, you try to describe it to them, and it's like, y'all are just strange, you know? But you get it, because you're part of the family, and just being with one another. I mean, the wedding was great, but it wasn't like the things that we did or the conversation. It was just being with family that was just amazing. And it reminds me that we were created for relationship. We were, as people, as humans, we were created for relationship. And sometimes we forget that. And that's why, starting today, we're going to spend the next 60 days in this new series called Soul Revolution, which is designed to help us remember that we were created for relationship and that we were specifically created for a vertical relationship, that God wants to have a relationship with you and with me. In fact, you cannot look at the scriptures. You know, if you get your Bible out, you start in Genesis right at the beginning, from the table of contents all the way to the maps, right? It's all about God having a relationship with his children. In 2000 BC, God pointed at Abraham and Sarah and he said, I choose you to be my special people, to be the parents of a great nation, and I will have a relationship with you, and I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. God chose Abraham and Sarah to have a relationship with in 2000 BC. In 1500 BC, God declares through Moses that the most important commandment of all is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength, because God wants to have a relationship with us. In 1000 BC, King David writes song after song after song, all of them about the way that God wants to relate to his people, how much God loves us and how good God is and how much we can trust him. In 500 BC, God's people, whom he loves dearly, have been unfaithful to him. And because of their unfaithfulness, they've been taken captive to a foreign land. And God says through the prophet Jeremiah, I wanted spiritual children who would love me and who would trust me and call me father. I thought that you would follow me and that I could lead you into good things, but God says you broke my heart and you kept going against my will. You see, God wants to have a relationship with us. In 30 AD, God sends Jesus, God in the flesh, comes to live among us so that we can have a three-dimensional understanding of who God is. God so desperately wants to have a relationship with his children that he says, I will become one of them, I will go live among them, and I'll demonstrate my love to them in very specific ways. And then in the last chapter of the Bible, the last book, the last chapter of the Bible, we have this amazing picture of God, and it can be a little bit weird maybe if you haven't read the whole story, but we have this amazing picture of God who describes the relationship that he has with his redeemed humanity as a wedding. That God and you and me, that we finally come face to face with him. God wants a relationship with you. He wants you to be intimately connected to him. He wants to know you and be known by you. God loves you. There's this great story early on in Jesus' ministry. Jesus has chosen his first 12 followers, those closest people that he's going to spend all of his time with and teach them and model who God is. He's spending all this time with them. And early on in Jesus' ministry, he's on his way to Jerusalem and he makes a stop in a little village called Bethany, which was outside of Jerusalem, and it's a little town where his friends Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. All three of them siblings, two sisters and a brother, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Mary and Martha kind of figure prominently in Jesus' ministry. We read about them over and over again in John's biography of Jesus. We read about how Lazarus died and Jesus raised him back to life. And oftentimes when Jesus and his disciples were on the way to Jerusalem, they would spend the night in Bethany. That's where they would stay. That was sort of their home base. They camp out in Bethany, they go into Jerusalem, do ministry, come back out of Bethany and rest. And there's this amazing exchange that takes place in Luke's gospel in the 10th chapter between Jesus and those two sisters, Mary and Martha. Let's take a look at it. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. It's interesting because we have two different women with the same upbringing, the same parents, the same town, the same community, the same religion. Two different women with the very same circumstances, and yet they respond entirely differently in their interactions with Jesus. If we were writing this story today, we might say that Mary and Martha have different love languages. How many of you are familiar with that concept of the five love languages? Well, the five love languages basically say that each of us tends to give and receive love in one of five different primary languages. So the idea is that you probably speak one love language, but if your spouse doesn't speak another, if your spouse doesn't speak the same love language, you can experience difficulty in your relationship because you don't have the same language, right? And so you need an interpreter, or you need to understand each other's love language. So there's five love languages, right? There's acts of service, there's quality time, there's giving gifts, there's touch, and there's words of affirmation. Those are the five love languages. So for example, in my marriage, I'm an acts of service person. My wife is a quality time person. So I'm out in the driveway and I'm detailing her car all day on Saturday because I love her, and she's sitting in the house saying, "How come he won't spend any time with me?" Right? Right? That's how it works. And so she and I, we've learned to express and receive love in each other's love languages. That's why she has a dirty car, because I'm spending time with her, right? I can learn. 29 years, I'm figuring it out, right? Well, Mary's love language, so we have Mary and Martha. Mary's love language is what? Quality time, because she's spending time with Jesus. She's hanging out with Jesus. She's sitting at his feet. She's learning. What do you suppose Martha's love language is? Acts of service. She's in the kitchen. She's working hard. She's preparing the dinner. Lots of jokes here. I'm not going to use any of them, right? So they've got these two different love languages. And here's the thing, and I think it's a little unfair. Martha generally gets sort of compared badly in this story. Mary's the heroine sitting meekly at Jesus' feet while Jesus teaches. And Martha comes off rather shrewish, doesn't she? In the kitchen, complaining. So look at verse 38. She, that's Martha, she came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." I can hear it. Can you hear it? Women have that thing with their head, that thing they do with their neck. It's like they've got this extra swivel joint in their neck, you know, that they can do that thing. You know, I'm talking about that side-to-side thing. I'm probably getting in all kinds of trouble here. I've only had about 6 hours sleep in the last 2 days, so I'll edit the tape later. But so that's kind of what I picture. I kind of picture, you know, Martha doing this. "Lord, you know, tell her to come and help me. Don't you understand? I am working hard in the kitchen." And so sometimes I think we're just too hard on Martha. She's just, you're cracking me up over there, Jonah. She just, I'm trying to preach up here, man. You're killing me down there. She's just expressing her love for Jesus. That's what she's doing. She's working in the kitchen. She's doing her thing. And I really kind of hate for us to be too hard on her, because if we're really honest, seriously now, if we're honest, probably a lot of us relate to Jesus this same way. This is how we relate to God, by doing things for him. All right? We want to experience God's favor. We want to experience his affirmation. We want to know that we've pleased God. And so what happens is a lot of us seek God's approval by doing things for him. We get involved in ministry, right? We work here at the church, or we do things on behalf of the church. That's how we seek approval from God, many of us. And here's what we do. We try to just make sure we do good deeds. I'm just going to be good. If I'm good, God's going to be good with me because I'm good, right? And so we try to be good. But the problem with that is this. whenever we try to experience God by doing things for Him, eventually our sin catches up with us. And we accrue a sin debt by the bad things that we do or the good things that we don't do. We accrue this sin debt that can never be redeemed or cleared by the good things that we've done. And so what do? Well, many of us, we just work harder. If we're Martha, we're going to add a souffle to the menu, right? We just try to work harder. We're going to try to do more. We're going to try to if we've messed up, we're just going to work harder. We're going to work longer hours. We're going to try to seek God's approval. And when we do that, before long, what happens is we begin to look around and we begin to notice that maybe other people, they're working as hard as we're working. I'm working really hard. And she's not working as hard as I am. He's not involved in as many ministries as I am. He doesn't put in the kind of hours that I do. And so then we begin to be a little bit like Martha. Hey, Lord, I'm killing it here in the kitchen while little Miss Sits-a-Lot down here just kind of hangs out with you and, at your feet, just kind of enjoying, your little Bible study over there. And I'm wondering if maybe you could tell her to get herself into the scullery because I'm working hard. And that's kind of the attitude that we can take. And what's Jesus' reply to this? When we try to connect with God by doing, what's Jesus' reply? Look at verse 41. The Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details." There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her. So we're all like Martha, right? Not all of us. I think a lot of us, and probably all of us at some time or another, are a lot like Martha. We worry about the details. We worry, we get upset over the details. Where should I go to college? What career should I pursue? Whom should I marry? Should I take the job? How do I parent these kids? How do I spend this money? And all of those things, believe it or not, they're big things, but all of those things are details. And what happens is we worry and we get upset over the details. Preachers, by the way, are not exempt from this. Preachers, we sort of sacralize, we make it sacred, right? We try to Jesus it up, right? When we worry, it looks a little better. I'm worried about the vision for the church. Right? We worry about, what's the direction that the church is going to go in? Or how do I inspire people to follow Jesus? Okay, or what should I be preaching and teaching about now? Or what should my preaching and teaching calendar look like for the whole church? Or how do I allocate all the things that I need to do in the limited number of hours that I have? And it's like Jesus is saying, Frank, there's only one thing you need to be concerned about. Just one thing. You're worried and upset about all these details. There's one thing. Just one thing. I'm like, Luke, help me out here, will you, brother? Because Luke's like, there's just one thing worth being concerned about it. And I'm not going to write it down. There's just one thing being worth concerned about. Mary's discovered it. It won't be taken away from her, but your readers will have to figure it out on their own. I don't think it's that hard to figure out, really. There's just one thing you and I need to be concerned about. We get worried, we get upset about all the details, right? And it's all details except for this one thing. Just one thing we need to be concerned about, and that is simply not relating to Jesus by doing, but relating to Jesus. You ready now? Relating to Jesus by being with Him. That's what Mary figured out. She understood that the way we relate to God, the way that we understand God, the way that we experience God is simply by being with Him. That's the one thing you need to be concerned about. And you know what? I get it. We get worried about the details, the job, the money, the house, the kids, the car. We get all worried. We get upset about the details. And Jesus is saying, no. That's just details. They're just one thing. One thing you need to be concerned about, and that is being with me. If you're like me, sometimes it's easier to try to do things for God than it is to simply be with God. I need help with that. I do. I need help with just being with God rather than always trying to do things for God. And so that's why we've started this series. That's why we're doing Summer Strong, so that you can grow closer to God this summer. That's why we're doing this series called Soul Revolution. And what I want to challenge you to do beginning today is to simply try an experiment. What I would love for every person here to do today is to say, okay, for the next 60 days, I am going to go all out in intentionally connecting with God. For the next 60 days, I'm going to focus on being with God. And we're going to give you a format that you can do that. We're going to help you out. In fact, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take what we're calling the 60-60 challenge. For the next 60 days, every 60 minutes, in other words, once every hour for the next 60 days, I want you to check in with God. That's it. Just check in with God. And when you check in, you know, just be present with Him. Maybe you say a prayer, something like, hey, God, am I headed in the right direction? God, what's your will in this situation? Okay, Lord, have I stayed connected to you and have I been willing to do your will in this situation? Past hour. God, if I've not done that, then help me understand why I got off course. Lord, teach me. Help me to learn from my mistakes. God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for not rejecting me when I forget you, but thank you, God, for always being present to me. For the next 60 days, every 60 minutes, you check in with God. That's what we're challenging you to do. And to see if it does not revolutionize your life. Now, you may need some help with that. Some of you probably need to go to Walmart and buy a $20 watch. Watches, this is for you kids, watches are what they had before smartphones, right? And you put them on your wrist, you wear them. And so what you may need to do is just go get a watch. And remember when they used to have watches that beeped every hour, right? Go get one of those watches again. And every hour when it beeps, you just stop and you be present with God in that moment. God, here I am. Lord, what do you have for me right now? How can I follow you better? How can I be more obedient to you? Lord, I want to hear your voice and I want to obey. You know, okay, you don't want to have a watch? No worries. But there's this great app called the 60-60 app that you can download from Google Play or from the Apple iTunes store. And you can actually set it up so that your watch does, or your phone rather, does the beep every 60 minutes. Right? And you can even customize the ringtone. Some of you probably have some great ones you put in there. And you can set it up so that you have every 60 minutes that your phone beeps and it reminds you to check in with God. And that's, you know, you got the app, you got your watch, however you connect with God. But that's also why we've asked you to pick up a copy of Soul Revolution, the book that's available in the lobby for $10, and to read along with us for the next 2 months. Because that's going to be our guidebook that helps us to really understand how to grow in this discipline of staying connected with God. So you've got the app, you've got your watch, read the book, and then finally go online to our website, seekstudyserve.org, and go to the Soul Revolution sermon page, and there we've got some other resources that you can use. Maybe your small group wants to do this with as they journey through the summer. There's curriculum there for your small group. Maybe you just want to connect with one or two other people. We call them running partners. And when you connect with a running partner and the two or the three of you decide for the next 60 days, we're going to hold each other accountable to this discipline of checking in with God. I believe, and some of us, maybe we don't want to do this, right? It's just one more thing. But I believe that if we'll actually take the plunge and go all in and stay connected to God, all the other details, job, car, house, school, kids, all those other details, we're going to discover God leads us down the path where those things take care of themselves. Kind of like this. Let's watch together.
Why am I doing the Soul Revolution Challenge? Because I don't want to, I guess. I mean, setting a watch every 60 minutes so I can check in with God, it feels more like a plan, a program, or something to just reel me in to make me feel bad about whatever I'm doing when the beep goes off. I mean, beep, I ignored it. Beep, I felt bad. Beep, 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 beep. I mean, I actually started checking the time before doing something I shouldn't just so the beep would go off while I was doing it. That's when I got it, and the experiment started to work. You see, God's not trying to catch me. He wants me to catch myself. He wants me to remember that He's there, and I can check in with Him at any time, not just every hour. You know, I'm just really good about forgetting that and making it about me. I'm also finding, and this is awesome, that not only is God there, but He's always been, and He always will be. Don't miss this chance. A revolution is coming, and you don't have to do it alone.
One of my favorite places in the world is San Diego, California. You ever go to San Diego? Yeah. Some of you, the government sent you there, right? And you were in the service, and thanks for that. But Tracy and me, we started going to San Diego probably in about 1995, where we'd go down to Tijuana and we'd build homes. I would say probably every 3 to 5 years since that time, we've gone back. And driving in San Diego is a little differently than driving in Lansing, Michigan. I mean, for one thing, they don't have potholes. That's the good part. But they don't have potholes in their 12 lanes, right? And so I get a little stressed out and a little anxious driving. Of course, it's a rental car, so I buy all the insurance I can get because I'm in San Diego. I'm trying not to crash the thing. And I'm super anxious about the exit and the speed limit and the directions. And all this stuff around me is just amazing, right? I mean, there's palm trees and the ocean, and you've got like these giant Navy ships and parks and this amazing beauty. You know, drive down the Pacific Coast Highway and you've got mountains on one side and you've got the beautiful ocean on the other side and you got me doing this. Right? White knuckling the whole thing. Until a few years ago when Tracy and I went to San Diego after they had made GPS widely available commercially. And we got our rental car at the airport. We immediately drove to Target. And I walked in and I bought a $99 GPS. Changed my life. Because now I don't have to worry about the exit or the speed limit or the directions or what I'm, you know, what lane I'm supposed to be in. Now I just have to listen to the GPS lady. And what I found is when I listen to her voice, I get to enjoy the ride. I get to notice the beautiful scenery. I get to look out into the bay and see the people getting on their cruise ship ready to go off to some amazing place. I get to cross the Coronado Bridge and look out on either side and see the amazing creation that God has put here for us. The difference is not really the landscape. The difference is that I've just learned to listen to the voice. And that's what we're talking about with the 60-60 Challenge and Soul Revolution. We're talking about you developing a plan to intentionally connect with God every hour for the next 60 days so that you can begin to hear His voice and sense His leading. And when you do that, when you begin to sense God's leading, turn left, turn right, stop, slow down, speed up. When you begin to sense God's leading, you'll discover that you get to enjoy the ride. And all those details, all those worries and concerns that we have, they're insignificant. So my challenge for you is over the next 60 days, I want you just to focus on one thing. Just one thing. Becoming intimately connected with your Father. Lord, help us to do that. It's so easy for worries, concerns, fears, anxieties to crowd into our lives. And we make life about them rather than being connected to you. And we say we believe that you are all-powerful and that you are all-knowing. We say that we believe that you are completely good and that there is no evil in you. And because we believe those things, we know that if we trust you and just do what you tell us, things are going to be great. Lord, one of the reasons that I don't always do that is because I'm just not listening. Lord, help me to be a better listener. Help me to connect with you every hour of every day. And when I sense what you're leading me to do, Lord, help me to obediently follow you. It's my prayer for me, for all of us today, Lord, for us as a church, that we would become followers of you who are intimately connected to you and your Father. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. So it can start right now. We're going to share in this communion time together. And we invite you, while we sing a few songs, to come to any of these six tables scattered throughout the room and to begin right now, at this moment, spending time with the Father every single hour. So maybe what you want to do is you want to come up this morning to one of the tables and you want to set your watch and then remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Maybe you want to come and pray and just say, Lord, I've blown it. I've not been connected with you, but today I'm starting new. And you drive a stake in the ground and you go forward from here. Here's the thing. Just do the experiment. Try it out. Test it out. The next 60 days, stay connected with God. And if it doesn't work, I'm not going to hound you on day 61. But I believe that if every day is communion day for us, if every hour we're communing with the Father and not just on Sunday morning when we have bread and juice, it'll change your life. Let's stand and sing together. And as you are moved, come and receive the gift.